Amelia Keegan is from Bread for the World Policy Analyst. Amelia typically does more domestic issues, but she's become known on the Hill as sort of a budget analyst. She understands a lot of these numbers that are so hard for me to keep up with. So I'm very happy to have Amelia here to help sort out some of that part.
I'm just absolutely thrilled to be here talking with all of you today, primarily for two big reasons. One is I get to talk to you about budget policy, which I'm just passionate about. I love, and so any opportunity to do that, I welcome it. So very excited to be here speaking with all of you about that today. Also, as I'm sure you are well aware, this is a critical time right now, particularly when it comes to decisions that Congress is making about how much we're going to be funding programs that really combat poverty and hunger, both in the United States and around the world. And the decisions that they are making right now are going to be lasting decisions and really going to have an impact for decades to come. So you are at the critical moment, because right now the negotiations are going on. They're shaping the bill. This is where all the attention is, but those decisions haven't been made yet. Once the bill comes together, once they figure out a deal, then it really is, you know how Congress works. They figure something out at the very, very last minute, and it's, all right, we either got to pass it or not pass it. And when it comes to a lot of the programs that we care about, those things are so small compared to some of the larger issues that they're not going to, members of Congress aren't going to say, but, you know, I'm really worried about how this is going to impact poverty-focused development assistance or something like that, and therefore vote against the entire deal to prevent the fiscal cliff, right? So now is the time that we really need to be making our voices heard on Capitol Hill. So there, I kind of want to go through just a few things. First, what is it that's going on? What is this fiscal cliff? And so what is all that? Number two, why should I care about it? Three, okay, well, what's the deal going to look like? What can I expect to kind of see coming out of Congress? And where are negotiations right now? What are some of the threats and opportunities within that? And then kind of what would be a good thing to see? What certainly at Bread for the World are we hoping to see come out of this? So first, what is the fiscal cliff? I apologize. I know you all are a very sophisticated group, so if I'm repeating stuff that you already know, I apologize. I don't mean to be redundant, but just to make sure we're all on the same page. As you probably remember, back in August with the debt, August of 2011, with this debt ceiling deal, right, it looked like Congress might actually default on its obligations. And Congress at that time put together the Budget Control Act, which included cut overall federal spending for the next 10 years. So they put in some overall what we call caps on that portion of the budget appropriated spending. But then they also said, you know what, there are some other issues that are really, really tough, especially when it comes to health care and tax. And that's really hard. So we're going to designate this committee, this super committee, to figure it out and figure out $1.2 trillion of additional deficit reduction. If you remember, the super committee was met and they debated and they decided, they said, this is really hard. We can't figure it out. And they weren't able to come to an agreement. And because of that, we're about to see $1.2 trillion in across-the-board cuts, also known as sequestration. It's going to hit almost every federal program that we have. There are some key exemptions for programs like the food stamp program, Medicaid, child nutrition programs, a lot of low-income entitlement programs. But other than that, it's really going to hit basically every federal program. So we have that. That's going to start to take effect in January. But we also have, as you all know, the expiration of all the 2001 and 2003 tax cuts, also called the Bush tax cuts. Those are trillions of dollars over 10 years. In addition to that, unemployment insurance, long-term unemployment insurance, as well as the payroll tax cut, those are expiring. We've got a farm bill in there that we're not quite sure what's going to happen with. As Marty said, the budget for this fiscal year, you know, that could be thrown in there as well. We've got another debt ceiling coming up in early next year, so that could be addressed in there as well. So all these things are converging in January, the beginning of the year. So, all right, what happens if we go over the fiscal cliff? Why should we care about that? The first thing is there are economic consequences. We kind of, at Bread for the World, we talk about it more as a fiscal slope. We probably won't immediately find ourselves in a recession on January 3rd, but these things have consequences. And as tax cuts expire and taxes go up on everyone, and as all these across-the-board spending cuts take effect and roll out, it will hurt our economy, and we will eventually find ourselves back in recession. So that's certainly a really, really bad thing. But just as important as going off the fiscal cliff, or what happens if Congress doesn't do something, is also if Congress does do something, what does that something look like, right? We want to make sure that Congress is making these tremendously big budgetary decisions in a way that reflects our priorities. And so, as I said, this is going to be probably a 10-year plan. It's going to determine our ability to fund programs that combat hunger and poverty both domestically and internationally for years to come, but it's certainly for the next decade. And part of that is deciding, it won't determine what the spending level is for every single federal program for the next 10 years. We're not going to see that. That's just too detailed. But it will say, okay, overall, this is the size of the pie. And given that we've already seen over $1 trillion of cuts to that pie that was enacted in the Budget Control Act, when you shrink the pie, you know, just because Congress decides to shrink the pie doesn't mean the needs already automatically shrink with it, right? And so then you have a smaller pie to be able to address the same amount of need. So that's another issue. The second thing is, okay, what's the balance of revenues and spending cuts? Because if it's all spending cuts and Congress isn't bringing in any new revenue, the math just doesn't work out in the sense that we're going to end up having to cut these programs over the long term. Just mathematically, that's the case. So what is that balance? And then the third thing is there going to be, like there has been in pretty much every major bipartisan deficit reduction deal over the past 30 years, a principle that deficit reduction shouldn't increase poverty? That has been a principle and backed up by policies over the most of the bipartisan deficit reduction deals that we've seen over the past couple decades, and in most of the bipartisan commissions, we've seen that articulated as well. But I will tell you right now, we are very, very concerned because that principle seems to be getting lost in the conversation. It's all about how is this going to impact, what are the political implications of this? What are the economic implications of this? What are the tax and health kind of questions? But when it comes to kind of this basic fundamental principle that everyone should be able to get behind, that's not being articulated. And so it's our job to really lift that up and bring this out as a moral issue, which it is. Okay, so that's kind of what the fiscal cliff is and why it's important. Okay, well, what's a deal going to look like? We have some indication of what we expect this legislation to kind of appear to be. We, as I mentioned, We have about 3 weeks till the end of the year, or until Congress plans to leave. It is unlikely that they will reform the entire tax code, make decisions about Medicare and Medicaid, and determine, as I said, discretionary spending levels or spending levels for over all of our federal programs in 3 weeks. That's a bit to do, a bit much to do. So more likely we're going to see a framework that kind of puts in place the rules for deficit reduction going forward, and then it will be up to committees to really implement it. That framework will have three things. One, there will be a down payment of specific spending cuts and tax increases to push off the sequester or the across-the-board cuts. The second is it will say, all right, overall, we're going to do this amount of deficit reduction, probably $4 trillion or so over 10 years. This amount will be spending cuts. This amount will be in new tax revenues. And we're going to decide on yearly appropriated spending what those overall levels should be for the next 10 years or so. So it's just going to kind of overall make general statements about the ratios and amount of funding decisions. And then there will likely be instructions to specific committees and have them figure out the details over a 6-month period or something like that. So instructions to the Finance and Ways and Means Committee saying, listen, do reform the tax code or do something with our tax code to bring in, say, $800 billion or $1 trillion new additional dollars of new revenue. It'll have instructions to, say, the Agriculture Committee to find $20 billion or so of savings or something like that, and then leave it up to the committees to figure out the specifics. One of the things that at Bread for the World we're saying is really important is to have specific protections in there, like saying, do this, but do it in a way that won't cause further hardship. Agriculture Committee, figure out the savings, but don't hurt the food stamp program. Ways and Means and Finance, as you're doing tax reform, do it in a way that protects the earned income tax credit and the child tax credit, that sort of stuff. And then, finally, there needs to be some sort of backstop. So what happens if these committees aren't able to put something together or Congress isn't able to enact it? So then there will be some sort of enforcement mechanism. So that's what the plan, we kind of see it looking like. All right, so what's going on now? Where are they? We keep hearing all these statements going back and forth from each party. Well, negotiations are going on pretty quickly. They don't have a lot of time. It's really at the leadership level. It's the president, Speaker Boehner, and Reid, McConnell, and Pelosi as well. But it's really at that level. Of course, all these members leadership has to be talking with their caucuses to make sure that when a deal comes down, they have the votes to be able to pass it, right? So it's not like you might go on your congressional visits and tomorrow and hear from members saying, well, I'm not in the room, I'm not leadership, I have no say in this. That's not necessarily true. They have a vote, and it's going to be a difficult vote, and leadership is going to want to make sure that they have the vote. So if they say, listen, but this is a real priority for me to be able to vote for this package, that's something that leadership's going to hear. So that their voice is still very, very important, whether or not they're in the room with the president and congressional leadership at the moment. So really the big questions right now that they're debating is on how much should they bring in new tax revenues and what should they do about healthcare spending. But as I said before, the question about there being a fundamental principle that deficit reduction not increase poverty, that's not being discussed right now. That's a problem. So we need to make sure that we're really pushing that with our members of Congress. The second, I would say, So there's a lot going on behind the scenes right now, and as I said before, Congress is really good at waiting till the last minute. So it's very likely that this could really run up to the 21st, 22nd, 23rd, we'll see, before something comes out, and then they're going to have to quickly pass it. But, you know, getting home for the holidays is a huge incentive for members of Congress, so that helps them enact something at the end of the day. So I just want to go through kind of, okay, well, what are the threats and what are the opportunities? The first threat is that they're going to end up cutting, just overall cutting, what we call non-defense discretionary spending. That's the portion of the budget that every year Congress decides, all right, we're going to spend this amount on this program, this amount on that program. Entitlement spending is that other portion of the budget. That's Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, food stamps. Those are things that Congress spends the amount of money on that portion of the budget based on who's eligible. Because if you're eligible for it, you automatically get the benefit. For the discretionary portion of the budget, which is where most of the global health fund programs for funding for global health programs are, that's discretionary spending. And every year, Congress makes a decision, we're going to spend X amount on this, Y amount on that. And so Congress is going to decide the overall amount, the size of that overall pie, for all discretionary spending programs. When you're doing that, it's really, really easy for them to say, when they're negotiating around a table on these issues of tax and healthcare spending, and they can't get to an agreement, or they can't get to the overall number that they want to get in deficit reduction, it's very easy to just say, all right, fine, we'll just cut discretionary spending by a little more. Just a 2% across the board cut. You know, I'm sure we can find some more savings there. Well, as you know, a lot of times the programs that end up getting hit the most are programs like poverty-focused development assistance and all those anti-poverty programs, particularly those serving individuals overseas, right? That's a huge, huge, huge threat. So I think that's one of the things that we're really, really concerned about, is that they're just going to say, we're just going to cut this a little bit more because they can't agree on some of the bigger issues. Not entirely, but when they can't get to those exact numbers, fine, we'll just cut this portion of the budget a little more. The second is that they don't get enough new revenue to be able to ensure that we're able to fund these programs over the long term. The third thing is that there is no principle that deficit reduction not increase poverty, and that there are no specific protections for those programs that we really care about. Now, that sounds pretty, that can sound kind of pessimistic. There is a huge, huge opportunity here. Because if you can imagine Congress actually enacting a comprehensive, bipartisan deficit reduction deal that puts this country on a fiscally sustainable course, addresses our deficits over the long term, and yet still incorporates a principle that deficit reduction shouldn't increase poverty, and that the policies in that plan really back that up. What an enormous achievement that would be. That would be huge. That would really secure, it wouldn't guarantee certainly funding for all these programs over the long term, but it would make a huge difference and really help if we have that framework in place that really secures that to some extent. And then, we've been playing defense for so long in trying to prevent cuts to these programs. And as I said, we're going to have to continue to do that to some extent, but it will also allow us to stop talking about this deficit reduction debate and really focus on, okay, what are we going to do to end hunger? What are we going to do to end poverty? What, you know, let's look at bold new ideas. And that's a conversation that I know at Bread for the World we're really hungry for. And I'm sure you are too. And so what a remark. We want to support a plan. We want Congress to be successful in this endeavor. And we know that whatever negotiated compromise they come out with is going to be controversial. It's going to be a tough vote. But what we're saying at Bread for the World is that if it maintains that principle, that deficit reduction won't increase poverty, that it will really have protections to protect funding for programs that we care about, then, you know what, we'll support that tough vote. We can sort of try and provide that moral support. So that's what we're really pushing for. And that's a very fast overview of the landscape. I know it was a lot of information, but happy to take questions at the end.